Zoom hasn't declared it. Hello.
Now we're recording.
Welcome to Binary Jazz. I don't even know if it's my turn to do intros, but I figured I would just go ahead and interrupt the Zoom intro and do it. Speaking to you live from Zoom version 5.5.0. I'm so happy to be with you today. Actually, I don't know if that was the right version. I'm with my friends. That's the important part. Allison, Chris, both on the internet. If you want to find them, go to binaryjazz.us. There are links. If you click them, it takes you places. Surprise yourself. Wow yourself. binaryjazz.us. Also, like us on Facebook.
Nope.
Don't like us on Facebook.
No.
Unlike us on Facebook.
Well, we're not on Facebook.
Tell your friends on Facebook to like us on YouTube and Apple podcasts and Spotify and Tumblr and Shopify and
everywhere Baidu. Podcasts can pod.
Everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. The premise is Allison brings a topic. Chris and I debate what the topic actually means, most frequently in a very incorrect manner. And then at the end of the show, we learn something and promptly forget it. So, what was last week's topic?
Complementary schismogenesis.
Yes, that had something to do with artificial intelligence, or no, not at all. Had something to do with
you were
bioluminescence.
Right? Was it your evil twin?
Oh, how much would that suck if there was if I had an evil twin, Gary and Barry? It'd be Gary and Barry, and Barry's out there like overinflating car tires. It's like pranks that take effort. Like, so instead of like letting the air out, like he's got like a tire pump. It's like, woo, now you're 2 PSI high. So your tire tread wear is not going to be equal across the entire width of the tread.
That's what your evil twin would do.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to assume so.
You have to assume that your evil twin would overinflate car tires.
Only slightly.
But if you are indeed the evil twin, then what if you're the good twin is like an astronaut?
Oh, I'd be so freaking jealous. Maybe that's why
that's what makes him evil. Yeah, that's what makes you
why
evil.
Why act out?
Yeah,
I'm not an astronaut.
Like, that's a weird thing to say. Like, what if you weren't an astronaut?
I listened to a podcast called The Space Above Us. And the dude that does it is JP something or other. And he works for NASA at the Goddard Space Center as a software developer. And it just has like a great demeanor on the show. But also, like, I feel like just really nailed this concept where he's like, I'm just going to take one episode and talk about like a single space flight. So I'm deep into the space shuttle right now. Actually, they just fixed Hubble for the first time. And one episode, like talking about that. And it's so immersive, and I'm so into whatever flight it is. And like, those are the astronauts I think about, you know? So.
Well, on the subject of podcasts, I suppose. This is a podcast, by the way, in case you were not aware.
Shit. I left that part out.
And I've been listening to a lot of The Adventure Zone. I'm pretty hooked onto that too. It starts off as like a sort of a goof, and they're just sort of fucking around in D&D, and then it gets like somewhere around like probably episode 40 or something, they actually get like seriously attached to like the story and the characters and everything, and then it becomes a lot, I don't know, more interesting for me. I mean, it's still funny and still sort of a comedy podcast, but it's needles. It's got its claws, hooks into me.
Hey, I think we had a segment last week where we talked about cooking.
Yeah.
I made falafel.
Mm. Yeah.
And two garlicky tzatziki sauce, but the falafel, I realized I don't actually know like what defines a good falafel. I've had lots of varying kinds of falafel and I'm like, that one was fine. But I never had one where I'm like, oh damn, that was a good falafel.
I bet Chris and I both have like an immediate memory of like the best falafel.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm actually hopeful like, that you'll
immediately I was thinking about a really good falafel that I've had.
I'm gonna close my eyes and imagine and you just regale me with your falafel tales.
I mean, I don't even know what was in it per se. The good falafel has like a particular sort of like dry but still kind of bready texture that's like we haven't been able to sort of reproduce with the falafel that we have made at home, like from scratch. I think maybe the type of falafel that we're making is different, or maybe it's just because we don't deep fry it. That might make a big difference. I mean, honestly, like the texture is what sets it apart. Like, cause I think about the falafel that I make and it doesn't have the texture that I think of when I think of really good falafel.
What's the texture you think of? Is it pillowy?
Not really pillowy. It's sort of like crunchy on the outside, but soft inside. And it's dry, but it's got like it's bready and crumbly, but not like a dough ball.
Yeah. It's like neither dry nor wet, but perfect. Yeah. Is perfect.
Okay.
That's the sweet spot that I can't.
So know. Like relate it to like a hush puppy.
I don't know what.
What?
I don't know.
You know what hush puppies are?
Like, well, I've like heard it, but like.
Wait, really?
In relation to shoes? Is this a regional thing?
Yeah, in relation
really?
To shoes.
Oh.
Is it like a cornbread type thing or?
Ish, yeah. Usually served with like fried fish. But Southern in nature. I mean, I know you're not eating fried fish.
I haven't been ordering the fish.
Well, no, I mean, that's usually like where you'd find it. It's like an establishment where you'd be serving fried fish, but it's a thing unto its own. It's like a side of kind of cornbready-ish, but fried on the outside and.
So I have a question.
It's just like, I'm going to save us.
Yeah, I am. Last week I mentioned that we had a comment on a YouTube video, Daffy Nishin, and the comment was hey. So
yeah.
I responded to that comment and I said hey. And then they responded they responded what to my hey. And now I'm confused.
So what's a good response? Nothing.
I don't I haven't responded yet because I'm
chicken
I'm,
butt.
Yeah. hey what chicken butt.
Yeah, I mean,
is that the appropriate response?
Yes.
I don't know if appropriate comes into this equation.
All right.
What?
I will switch accounts to Binary Jazz to the channel so I can respond with the official.
You can throw in like either the registered logo or the trademark icon. Either emoji would be appropriate in the situation.
Haven't responded yet. There's
chicken butt.
Oh, wait, we have more. Well, we have one. Oh, that's from a year ago. No.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Harry, when you become back. Independently wealthy, I'll fly to Paris with you and take you to my favorite falafel place.
Yeah, that works for me. Paris?
Yeah, it's the best falafel I've ever had. And I thought it was hokey, and I was like, this is silly. And it's touristy. And I was like, but it's the best. I was like, they know what they're doing. That's why this line is so long.
Yeah, I'm there. Independently wealthy. I will put that on my to-do list.
Just two tickets and two falafel.
I've got two tickets to falafel paradise.
It's just called Paris.
Paris dice?
It's just Paris dice. Ridiculous. What do you put on your falafel?
Everything.
What? Whoa, that's a lot. What does that entail? Like
anything that they have, I will put on.
Okay.
Whatever. I love pickled anything. So
yeah.
The more the better. Parsley And if they have tabbouleh and they want to put that on, great. Hummus, yep. Hot sauce, onion, lettuce.
Yep,
it's ridiculous.
Okay.
I feel like I'm missing something. Tomato.
Okay.
Falafel.
Another falafel on top. A slightly smaller falafel and ad infinitum. Forever.
That's what the Dyson sphere should have been. It should have been falafel based.
Oh, God. I wasn't displeased with these, but I just like I ate it and I'm like, I don't actually know if this would be considered good or not. Like,
did you fry yours or did you kind of like bake them or fry like pan fry them?
Bake them, yeah. Yeah. I once again had flour on the counter and I didn't need nearly as much. So it was a mess to clean up for no reason.
Did you use chickpea flour?
No, I just used standard bleached flour.
That is the problem.
Oh.
Falafel is chickpea flour.
Well, it seems like it's already pretty chickpea heavy. Right?
How did you make it with chickpeas and not use the chickpea flour?
Let's all just swap falafel recipes and compare and contrast.
Yeah, so I had chickpeas that I threw into a blender and then I added like a very small amount of flour. So I started with full chickpeas and I added, what else did I put in there? I put in...
Okay, so when we do it, when we make
some garlic.
When we make ours, it's I see, that's the problem. It's all chickpea flour. Like we make it out of chickpea flour.
Okay.
And then add water.
Okay. The chickpeas carried enough water that I did not need to add much fluid.
Yes.
Fluid is not a cooking term, is it? You never hear someone in the kitchen like, I need more fluid in this recipe. No, that's not a cooking term.
No, not so much.
Sorry. Juicy. Juicy would be the cooking. It's not juicy enough is what you would say.
No.
No?
Not, that's not what you would say either.
What would you say?
It doesn't have enough liquid, perhaps. It's dry. Mm.
Dry. That's probably what you would say. You wouldn't refer to the quantity of fluids. Rather, you would say it is dry.
That's all right, there we go. It is, I have successfully, it took me that long to successfully post the reply in the correct account from Binary Jazz to, they've changed their name. It's no longer, what did I don't remember what I said it was last time, but it was like an actual name. Now it's something in Russian.
Oh, it was Chris last time, I believe, if I remember correctly.
No.
I'm pretty sure it was.
No.
It was Chris. Hey.
Pretty sure it's not.
All right. Well, here we are.
Yep.
I sitting in front of the abyss. I love this. At least on my side, it just looks like you can't tell how far the wall is behind me. It could be immediately behind me. It could be
it
miles.
It looks like it's immediately behind you.
Oh, it is. But in the video I have, it looks as though it could be way back. Not when I move my head. The shadow.
Yeah, the shadow.
Pretty much the shadow just kills it just instantly. Yeah.
I need to be further from it. And then it would just be like, what is that wall? Oh, it's just nothing. I'm sitting in front of nothingness. I decided I was.
Void.
Yeah.
So topic, do we have a topic?
We do. The topic is egregore.
Egregore?
Yeah, it's spelled E-G-R-E-G-O-R-E.
E-G-R-E-G-O-R-E.
Well,
E-G-R-E-G-O-R-E.
Yeah.
I'm so pretty sure the word. End,
and egregore is at the beginning. Okay, got it.
Yes.
Egregore.
Yes.
Is that related to egregious?
Yes. It absolutely is.
See, okay.
Also related to gregarious.
Yeah. So
it would be like an offensive amount of talking.
There's a lot of things that
I'm done here.
There's a lot of things this probably is, but I really want to go down into the depths of what it's not. So because what it sounds like it should be egregore, and maybe this, perhaps this was just related to the fact that I was looking at a whole bunch of D&D monsters about 20 minutes ago.
That is so out of character for you.
Possibly that's related, but like immediately this sounds like a some sort of monster. And Evergore, you stumble into the dungeon and you are confronted with this huge egregore. The egregore has sort of a pointy head. It's covered in reddish fur. It's got long nails. It's got two large eyes and a mouth full of teeth, and its nose is sort of hidden behind this like wolfman like fur that just covers its entire body.
Yeah. So when I heard
it has egregore, a bear patch on its chest like a gorilla.
That was just a bit of detail beyond what I needed to make it real for me. When I heard this, did not think monster. So I am going to say that your recent D&D research colored your opinion.
It's egregore, it has two attacks per turn with its claws. It likes to do a bear hug. Like if it can get you in its reach, it'll bear hug you. And then hold you in place.
Is it
a form of bite your brain?
Yeah, no.
Likes to eat people from the brain first, like brain down. Like the brain is the appetizer.
Is it a specific kind of orbit, or what am I thinking of? What's the kind of orbit that I'm thinking of that sounds similar to this?
Orbit.
But you should know that I don't bring anything.
That's fair. It's not gonna be a space topic. That's right. Yeah.
Or maybe it is, and that's what I would say if I wanted to throw.
I'll be so embarrassed at the end, and I will then out my evil twin, be like, or my better twin, and be like, "Well, you should have picked on the astronaut, not me."
The fourth space mission with Sergeant Egregore.
Sergeant Egregore. Yeah.
I stick by what I said earlier. It is the combination of egregious and gregarious, an offensive amount of talking.
Egregious.
I was on the subway with an egregore, and I just could not wait to get on. I actually got off a stop early because they were driving me nuts.
Yeah, because if you're on the subway with an egregore, then they're big and
they won't shut up.
And they're so this large, pointy-headed, hairy creature just like likes to talk a lot is the thing. So, I mean, for all of the people, all of our listeners, if you want to send fan art of the egregore, please.
I think I'm good.
Because I want to see the fan art of an egregore.
Yeah. Yeah. I road tripped yesterday with the kids, two older kids, and we listened to a podcast called Smash Boom Best. So close. And Smash Boom Best like has two people present alternative things, and then a judge decides which one is better. And so one of the episodes was mermaids versus Bigfoot, and then another was sharks versus skunks. Anyway, I feel like
what one?
On the first one, I don't remember. And on the second one, I think it was skunks. It's pretty compelling. No, it wasn't. It was sharks because they tied. And then the tiebreaker was someone singing a song about, or no, not even singing a song. They created sandwiches appropriate for their shark or skunk. And the shark was like, "I'm just making a skunk sandwich, to hell with it. I'm a shark. What are you going to do?" And that kind of closed the deal, I think. Perhaps I'm recalling incorrectly because I wasn't super engaged in it. I was driving.
I know, you don't even know who won like mermaid versus Bigfoot.
You're not super
engaged. Yeah, well, you know how I feel about cryptozoology.
You're listening to when you're driving.
What's that?
You're not engaged in the podcast that you're listening to when you're driving.
I usually am. If it's like a podcast I chose, but it's a podcast that worked for the kids. I was like, well, they're quiet and I will daydream about space.
All I can think about is that mermaids would obviously win in this case because Bigfoot is one Yeti or Sasquatch. It's like a particular one.
I was hoping you're gonna be like, because Sasquatch isn't even real.
Yeah, come on.
No, I find it interesting that you tune out of, because I even we've been listening to audiobooks in the car with the kids for, I don't know, years. That was the thing that got them to shut up when they stopped just sleeping through car rides. Stop like fighting with each other and get really aggravated with each other because it's a pain in the ass to drive for 6 hours and be stuck in the car for that long. It's not like it's not like, you know, shut up, kids. But I always listen to the books. I mean, even if I'm not super into the book, I'm always like it's more engaging than like the frickin' cement between here and like through Nevada into Death Valley or whatever.
Yeah, this trip is kind of fun. So the first 2 hours are very rural from where we are to the interstate. There are faster ways to get to the interstate, but they are not as direct to get to Florida. So the first 2 hours are like head generally southish until you run into Interstate 95. And that path changes like the GPS. Like every time I run into it, it's like, let's try this way. So that's pretty fantastic. Then the next 2 hours are Interstate 95 in South Carolina, which is only two lanes. And that is probably where I was mostly distracted because I was trying to survive that portion of road. And then you get to Georgia, and then you're about 2 hours from where we were headed to in Florida, and it opens up to three lanes. And at that point, it's really just smooth sailing, and you're just driving on the interstate, and there's plenty of space, and nobody's trying to run you off the road in a big truck. People get actually pulled over for speeding. It's a very different experience in Georgia versus South Carolina. South Carolina is where the next Mad Max will shoot, I believe. It's just crazy. I've been on 95 in South Carolina where like, we're like at a complete stop because a truck literally crashed into another truck and someone was sleeping in the back and was ejected through the windshield. Oh, okay. Well, I guess we probably should stop traffic for that. And then a helicopter lands and takes off and then the tow truck shows up and then you can drive again. Like I could do with a lot less, like a significant less amount of that. Like none would be ideal. So I have a secret route I take sometimes that goes through like.
Don't tell us about it. It's secret.
Oh, no, I can tell you because honestly, like even if I increase the quantity of cars that are on that road by 1,000%, it would still only be like 1,000 cars over 90 miles. The first time we drove it, like I think we went for like 20 miles and didn't see another car. Like we drove through like on the map cities and it was literally like that traffic light used to work. And there was nothing in here. There's like rundown. Like, I don't know if the city's just abandoned or if the people there are just given. It's really something. Anyway, we're going to drive that way on Sunday and just like be appalled. And there's a camel. There's a farm that has a camel on that route. So right near the end, we'll get to, hopefully get to see the camel. The camel's out. The first time Ron is like, and that's a camel. What? Yeah, there's a camel over there. Fortunately, because there's nothing, your line of sight is not obstructed, so I can just look over my shoulders. I'm driving. Oh my gosh, that's a camel. I know. That's what I said. I'm sorry. I just didn't expect to see a camel here. No one did.
There's a
fly about. It's going to be the camel.
Right.
There's a place on the side of the highway between here and. Well, between here and Vegas, is it that direction, or is it between here and Reno? Anywhere, it's in Nevada.
Somewhere between here and casinos.
No, it's between here and Reno. So it's on. That would be I-80, and it's on. It's when we're going. So it'd be on like I guess the east side of the road, and it is this old. Residence, I suppose, but like it's covered in bones of various kinds with huge structures built out of bones, and the bones are attached to the building, and like it's got all this. It looks like Mad Max. It looks crazy looking, and every time we pass it, we're like, I want to stop there. But you're like not anywhere near any place that you could stop. And we found it on Atlas Obscura at one point. It exists on Atlas Obscura, so I could probably find it and look it up, and it'll be in the.
What if my camel exists on Atlas? Probably.
I think the story is that it used to be like there used to be an artist that lived there, and they died, and now it belongs to like their brother or something, but it's not maintained. But they want to make it a museum or some sort of some weird thing. So it's still there, but like nobody's like taking care of it or like, yeah. But it's fascinating. There's also, just speaking of things on the side of the road that are weird, outside of Cedar City, Utah, which
Iowa,
which is near Goblin Valley, there is a sculpture.
Making stuff up.
I'm not making stuff up. There's a sculpture that is designed based on the Fibonacci sequence. So it's got like these essentially cubes that are piled on top of each other. And the way that they are piled on top of each other is based on the Fibonacci sequence.
That's awesome. We use Fibonacci.
Another one of those things that are like, oh, I should stop and pull over and take a look at that thing, but you're not gonna do that.
On your way somewhere.
Yeah.
we got casinos to hit. And clearly. We use Fibonacci for estimating story points on tickets, which to me feels like, all right, number one, it's complete bullshit because it's story points. Number two, like we're enforcing Fibonacci. So like it will never be accurate, which is kind of liberating. My estimates are like
a point.
Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah, Fibonacci points for story points is all about like using the numbers to estimate the level of uncertainty rather than the level of known complexity. Like the less you know, the bigger the number gets. It's not about it's not about how hard it is necessarily, because you might think it's easy, but then you get into it. But you might think it might sound easy, but when you get into it, because you didn't, there's a lot of unknowns that it becomes a lot bigger. So you estimate based on uncertainty.
Yeah. And in addition to that, it's really easy to be like, well, the difference between like 3 and a 5. Okay. But it's definitely not an 8, you know, like, and it's definitely not, well, 5 or 8. Well, it's not a 13. Like it, the growth obviously caps top boundaries. Obviously. I don't know. What was the word?
Egregore. That's the one. Is that the one? That's not the one. Now I'm on Atlas Obscura trying to find the.
Oh.
Oh. Okay.
I was like, I can tell you, I can confirm that it is the topic.
No, egregore is definitely the topic.
Let me refer to my notes.
Yes.
Yes.
It's a monster in Dungeons and Dragons. I've heard
it's not a monster. Of that, I'm certain. Disgusting. I'm pretty certain my answer is not correct. I'm also certain yours is not correct. Is it a monster?
So, I mean, like, if I don't think there's a winner here. But I guess if I had to choose one over the other, Chris is probably closer.
I'm closer.
So it's a group thought form. I originally came across this concept in Chaos Magic.
Wait, slow down. Say it again.
It's a group thought form.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
So I came across it in Chaos Magic. So it's kind of like, do you know the term servitor?
No, that's also a Dungeons and Dragons monster. That's the one that controls the egregore.
It's very D&D. So a servitor is something that's a kind of a thought form that's based on one individual, and an egregore is something that has been detached from an individual and is now part of a group mindset. So like you can create it either intentionally or unintentionally, and it's basically an autonomous thing with the power to influence. So it's just like
I mean, like the way that we decided that Dyson sphere actually means a ball of meat.
Yeah.
Exactly. Is it more likely to be unobserved though? So like we obviously like played with Dyson sphere and that's gross. I didn't mean to say it that way. We've obviously like kicked the thought around. Shit, I'm failing at this. We have clearly explored the idea. Is Egregore more likely to be unexplored group thought, or is it observed? Is the actual observation of it a requirement of it existing?
No, it cannot be often unobserved. But like, it's also stuff. I mean,
this is so cool.
It can be anything from like Santa. Santa is an Egregore because we have this concept of Santa.
Okay, got it.
So I love this topic for so many reasons, but it actually puts a word to a thing that a concept I haven't been able to apply language to.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to necessarily be like I stumbled across it through like the occult, but it can be very like non-occulty. Like there are lots of like concepts of a corporation that can be very of that like entity, because it's like it's the same thing as if you like, I don't know, some memes are a good example of things that are egregores, like that a certain idea or concept.
It's very hokey, but I find a lot in teams. So like agency life obviously is a spot where you're working in teams, but that often you will be in meetings and there is like a concept that everyone gets, but there's not like a great way to describe. So people are like trying to apply a word to it. This thing they're trying to apply the word to is the egregore. That like it's this concept we all already understand, but we've never defined together, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, like to the Santa version, like Santa is masking this idea that like, oh, gift giving to other people should feel good and be about like, you know, not about like this like receiving thing, right? It's this like giver that we hold in high regard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's this concept, this egregore concept of like, that's I feel like is the undercurrent of just any kind of group consistently, and we all struggle to fight to like potentially expose it, but then also expose it and understand it. Apparently I'm still hung up on the Dyson sphere.
I found the thing I was looking for. Thunder Mountain Monument in Imlay, Nevada.
Ah, right, Imlay.
Okay, we have 4.5 minutes, and I have 15 questions that I'm ripping off
15.
From
Stephen Colbert. Okay, let's do it.
Wait.
It's lightning round. Best sandwich.
The next one.
Peanut butter and jelly.
Obviously. What's one thing you own that you should really throw out?
Everything.
Oh, God. I have a pair of boxer shorts that has been like tearing like a hole near the seam.
That's
for
not,
like
we don't
weeks.
Need to go. We
That's
don't need to.
For yourself, Gary.
Yeah, we don't need to go. You could have stopped at boxer shorts.
I know. I'm sorry. I love boxers. How dare
what
you?
Scariest animal.
Scariest animal. Egregore.
Shark.
Apples or oranges?
Apples.
Have you ever asked someone for their autograph?
Yes.
Yes.
What do you think happens when we die?
Our energy shoots out through a cosmic colander into the universe. And our energy is consistently trying to puncture its way back in to this sphere that we're in, this non-Dyson sphere, as it were.
Chris?
Often energy gets trapped and not able to make it through the colander holes. And that is why when people die, we still have like these times we interact with.
I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Favorite action movie?
Top Gun?
You can always pass, too.
Six String Samurai?
Okay.
Favorite smell?
Egregore. vanilla?
Pine. Pine trees.
Mm, that's good.
Least favorite smell.
My body odor.
Tea tree oil. Maybe. Maybe not.
Patchouli. What?
I like patchouli.
Exercise. Worth it?
Yes.
Probably.
No. Yes. That's my official answer. Yeah. I'm to like that.
Flat or sparkling?
Flat what? Or sparkling?
Flat or sparkling?
Sparkling.
We're talking about wall finishes? Sparkling.
Probably water.
Yeah. Oh, the obvious one. Okay. Sure.
Most used app on your phone?
Slack, sadly.
Twitter.
You get one song to listen to for the rest of your life. What is it?
Oh.
Chris is going to have a meltdown.
Something I haven't heard yet.
Pass.
What number am I thinking of?
13.
No. Describe the rest of your life in 5 words.
I live, I then die. Hopefully not so bad. Cool.
Not soon, but maybe. Shrug.
That's it.
That's it.
Those 15 questions?
Yeah.
15 questions. We still have a minute left.
I feel like I want to explore some of these a little bit more. Which ones do I want to explore a little bit more?
Well, I love that you both agreed. Why did you both choose apples?
Because I like apples.
I thought about accessibility to eating, and like I can bite into an apple and orange. There's that work of getting in there. And if I had to choose one or the other, like right now, an apple sounds pretty damn good.
I choose apple because you can put peanut butter on an apple.
Yeah. There's that.
You could put peanut butter on an orange. You would be happy with it, but no. You could do it.
You can do it.
You're welcome to. You weirdo.
I'm just not a big fan of the stringiness of oranges. And
I like citrus related. In some cases. I feel like citrus is magical in some cases. Like it's not the mouth feel, you know, of the citrus is very, mouth feel is also not a cooking word we use.
No, it is.
It appears.
It is.
Okay. I said.
You can still use it.
Okay. I think Allison Winston and I
think umami is the proper cooking term.
For mouthfeel?
I believe so.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.